Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Lance Gatling, the principal of Nexial Research in Tokyo, to help us with a story that spilled out over these last days. 2 days ago, the UPI is reporting Japan's Prime Minister Kishida urges China to stop regrettable, quote, water complaint phone calls. The background of this, as I understand it, is Fukushima, the catastrophe of the tsunami many years ago, is releasing some of the water that it has stored ever since, using it to cool the plants that are still dangerous, releasing some of it into the ocean with no discernible risk to anyone. It is the ocean, and radioactivity can be natural around the world. But in any event, ever since then, there have been reports of harassment against all kinds of Japanese enterprises, restaurants, gasoline stations, by Chinese nationals. The regrettable water complaint is what the Prime Minister is speaking to. And since this initial report, the matter has moved so that we have stories about harassment. We have stories about banning Japanese seafood in China. We have stories about questions challenging whether this is purposeful, whether this is meant to hurt the Chinese people. In other words, the gossip is spilling out of control. So I welcome Lance to help us understand how Tokyo is reading this dispute. Lance, a very good evening to you. At first, banning Japanese seafood doesn't seem to be a major play against between these two states, but they are at odds, remain at odds because of the matter of Taiwan, remain vulnerable to provocations. The only thing I know to compare it to is the burning of Japanese automobile dealerships many years ago in a dispute at the end of Hu Jintao's time as chairman of the Chinese Communist Party and the rising of Xi Jinping. What is the report in Tokyo about this dispute? Has it been settled or is it accelerating? Good day to you.
Hello, gentlemen. Greetings from a very hot Tokyo. And politically, it is getting hotter. I don't think it's accelerating too quickly. But when the decision was made, and it's been well known in advance, to release up to 22 trillion becquerels of radioactivity from the storage tanks at Fukushima Daiichi, the number one Fukushima nuclear plant that suffered during the earthquake and the aftermath tsunami, that the Chinese have taken a very calculated political stance against Japan. And bear in mind that this amount of radioactivity to be released over literally 30 to 40 years, and it's got a half-life of just over 12 years. So by the time they release it all, it'll all be gone anyhow. There is additional water that's collected and processed every day, but they have to clear out these tanks in order to decommission the power plants. That radioactivity, the tritium, is in the form of water. It's the hydrogen is bound with the oxygen atoms in order to make water, so you can't separate it out, essentially. If they could, it'd be a very valuable substance. But it goes into the Pacific Ocean, and the black current takes it up towards Alaska, not towards China. It's on the opposite side of Japan from China. So the notion that somehow that this is harmful directly to China is just not really scientifically feasible. They have banned all Japanese seafood, which is a considerable amount of the seafood exports of Japan, which are excellent and enjoyed by many, many Chinese. The Japanese have just reopened large group tour permissions for Chinese, and they're flooding Tokyo, and they love the seafood. So to both sides, they have social media trolls who are trolling each other. I don't think it's going to get completely out of hand, not like the direct assaults. There have only been some incidents, and probably for many countries, it would not bother to even report this. But for very peaceful Japan, these are noticed and they are reported in the media, which, of course, stirs up the Japanese trolls to include people like the sushi restaurant owner who put the sign in the window to tell Chinese tourists, we use Fukushima seafood and it's great. Come on in and have some.
Gordon, you have a question for Lance.
Lance, what concerns me about this is that inside China, the economy is failing. There are simultaneous crises. And if you look at basically Chinese society, you'd have to be concerned that if the regime is stirring up hatred of Japan, that this could get out of control. What does the Japanese government think about this? Do they worry about the possibility of a spiral downward, or do they think that this is just business as usual?
Well, certainly the Japanese are cautious in their approach to the Chinese. They have cautioned Japanese nationals through Japanese embassy in Beijing and also Japanese consulates around the country. They have cautioned Japanese nationals to speak Japanese quietly, to not stand out. Physically, they are somewhat different from Chinese. They're often easy to spot in a Chinese crowd, particularly if they're speaking in Japanese. So they've told them to be cautious of where they go. There are a couple of Japanese schools in China, one in Fuzhou, that had someone throw rocks at him. But those have increased their physical security guards outside. So as usual, they're taking this very, very cautiously. I don't think that anybody is ready to declare a heightened state of military preparedness. But they did summon the Chinese ambassador and ask him to urge the Chinese people to remain calm and to stop their harassment of Japanese. What they're doing is calling all sorts of locations in Japan, particularly like Fukushima City Hall, but also completely unrelated facilities. Like one of my judo friends is a Shinto priest in Tokyo, and he tells us that, in fact, they're getting calls from Chinese that either yell at them in Chinese or they have mechanical recordings that they play into the phone telling them to stop releasing the water. And he asked, well, what do we have to do with the water? We have nothing to do with this.
Gordon, I recall the incident of burning Japanese car dealerships more than 10 years ago. However, the largest story I note is that there's now said to be fresh provocation along the Himalayan frontier between the two poised military deployments, the Chinese and the Indian. And then we have this incident of calling and harassing Japanese. And we recently had those joint exercises, Russia and China in the Sea of Japan. There's provocations all the time along the South China Sea. So I'm recounting all this because my memory is that you've told me now and again the Chinese Communist Party pushes the jingo button, nationalism, heavy nationalism called jingoism, in order to distract or discredit criticism about the economy. Is that possibly what we're looking at now, Gordon?
I certainly think that's what's going on right now, because Xi Jinping realizes that the Chinese economy is in a very fragile state. He knows that his policies are going to accelerate the downward trend, but he's doing it nonetheless because he believes in a state-dominated society. And so really his only way out is to rally the Chinese people. And he's just probing on every single front right now, including the Philippines at Second Thomas Shoal and other locations, which is extremely dangerous. But I do worry about the China-Japan relationship, because the one thing that can get Chinese people really moving is Japan. They can worry about India or Philippines or Taiwan. But if you want to get them really angry, you start talking about Japanese, and it gets really ugly.
Lance, do we just have a minute? You mentioned trolls. Yes, of course. Worldwide, it's part of this story. However, the Chinese trolls are organized. We've known this for some time. Are the Japanese trolls organized against China, or is this the volunteers?
Well, there are a lot of volunteer Chinese trolls, too. You can actually track them in social media. Someone will find the phone number for the Fukushima City Hall and put that there and say, I'll call, too. So it's out in the open. In Japan, they don't have nearly the numbers or the sort of viciousness that I think that you can get. But also, Japan doesn't have 1.2 billion people, so they just don't have as many trolls, perhaps. But there are some right-wing sites and such that do, in fact, like to troll the Chinese.
Is there any reason to connect it to the government, or is this independent of the government?
No, I think there's nothing that indicates that the government would stoop to this. The Japanese government is certainly capable of a lot of things, but I think that this is such a farcical take on things that they would be too embarrassed to actually admit to this. But there are plenty of volunteer trolls that will do this on either side.
Lance Gatling, a principal of Nexial Research in Tokyo. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Mitchell.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.